T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jason, even the most ardent Kobe supporter, like Chris Fedor, who was the one guy that believed in Kobe when no other members of the media, myself certainly included, did, could have thought that this season would be this good, Jason. They have a very good chance to win 50 games. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, they're on pace for 50 right now, actually, so they very well could win more than that because their schedule is behind them, and I think they've got, like, I was just talking to Kelsey about this a little bit ago. I think they have the third easiest schedule the rest of the way. So 50, yeah, I mean, even if they continue at this current pace, they're going to win 50. It is insane. Like, there's people, as many people inside that organization are just as shocked as the people outside the organization. Nobody saw this coming. And it's really a fun team to watch. And, you know, to me, Mobley's the one that really brought this thing all together. The Cavs finally got a little bit of lottery luck. They absolutely nailed the pick. You know, everyone was hoping and praying for Cade Cunningham, and I think Cade Cunningham's going to be a terrific player in this league for a long time. But I was writing in May that Mobley is exactly what this team needs, and he's even better than I thought. His ability to play so many different positions ties this whole thing together. And you saw in the 8 games he's missed, I think the Cavs went 3-5. And he's a difference maker. And I said when I was in with you, he's a legitimate number one on a championship team. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah, and Darius Garland, like, he's great, right? And he has so much upside still, especially in the offensive side, to grow and grow and grow. But also the other guys, the other two guys in the big three, which Kendrick Perkins today called the best young big three in the NBA. Garland and Allen, I think they're even better players than we thought they were. Like, Allen especially has been in the league a while. You know, he's still young, but it felt like, okay, we knew what he was, and he is what we thought he was, but he's even a little better than we thought he was, I think. And Garland, again, Kendrick Perkins called him a superstar today. I love him. I love watching him play. The three of them together are just so perfect, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack with that. And number one, I think Mobley helps Jarrett. I think Mobley's presence really unlocks Jarrett and allows him to do different things. When they signed Jarrett to that extension over the summer, I thought, man, I think they overpaid a little bit. Because to me, he's a guy who was going to get schemed off the floor in a playoff series. Like, if you're trying to build this thing for a playoff series, my thought was you could scheme Jarrett off the floor. I don't think it's the case. Like, he was guarding Giannis last night for short stretches. Like, he could guard a lot of different guys. And that contract could actually come out to be a bargain by the time it's all said and done. So the Jarrett signing was terrific, that extension. Darius, you know I'm known in town as the Colin hater, and that was never the intent, but I do believe that pulling those guys apart from each other and putting the ball in Darius's hands has helped propel this. We saw that when Colin was healthy and he was sort of playing a little bit of a different role early in the season and things were sort of flowing through Darius a little bit more. And we saw that sort of bearing out and I think that's really helped Darius to flourish. And the idea of a big three, I'm actually going to do something on this next week, but I'll go ahead and touch on it now.
Yeah.
This is fascinating to me when you're talking about Garland, Mobley and Allen, because when you're talking about big threes, most of the time, you have to strip down the resources of your roster in order to do that. It's either, you know, you got to gut your roster to come up with the cap space to sign in free agency, or the trade pieces we saw, you know, the Lakers annihilate their roster to go get Anthony Davis, something like that, what the Heat did when they brought in LeBron LeBron and Chris in the original. The Cavs did this organically, and they traded for Jared Allen, but they didn't have to give up a ton. Excuse me, just the way that, like, this has only been done two other times. Oklahoma City and Golden State.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to put the Cavs into that group. Like, that's you know, both obviously the Warriors won multiple championships, and OKC went to the finals with those guys. And we're not at that point yet. But that's the trajectory of this. That's where this is trending. When you're talking about Darius is going to get a max contract this summer, he's going to sign a max. Jared Allen's already on the books for the foreseeable future. Evan Mobley is already, you can see, he's going to be a max player already.
Wow.
And he's halfway through his first year. So for the Cavs to organically do this and put this thing together with those three and still retain their draft picks into the future, they don't have a ton of cap space right now, and we can talk about that a little bit in terms of like what you can do with this roster because they're up against the tax line. But going forward, you know, Kevin's money comes off the books when Darius's max goes on. So they're going to be in good shape financially moving forward. And just the ability to do this, like this is so rare. Teams can, I mean, like I said, OKC and Golden State are the only two in the last 20 years that I can think of that organically built a big three like what the Cavs are trying to do.
You know what? We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. What was really fun in particular about last night, I don't know, maybe fun's not the right word, but it was interesting to me, is the Cavs, and I know, you know, the Cavs are playing their butts off every night, maybe the Bucks are not, but in that first quarter, it looked like the Bucks were going to run the Cavs off the court. The Cavs' defense wasn't there in the first quarter, Jason. The Bucks were hitting every three-pointer. The Cavs were playing no defense. I think they have 36 at the end of the first quarter. And then Love and Jetty come in late, like with a minute or two to go in the first quarter, and the whole game turns around. The Cavs give up 60 points, I think, 62, maybe the rest of the game. So the fact that the Bucks got off to that great start and then the Cavs dominated. But also, they won going away against the defending NBA champs when none of their three big stars had huge games. Like, they were all fine, but none of them had huge games. It wasn't like Garland put up 37 and had 15. You know, they didn't have outstanding – nobody – like, Kevin Love and Jetty, for what their normal role is, had bigger games. But nobody had an individual game that's like you're going to highlight on SportsCenter. But it was just a whole team effort that led to this dominating win. That's what I loved.
Oh, they whipped their ass. The Cavs whipped their ass the last three quarters. And I think the Bucks shot, I think it was 38%. I looked it up over the last three quarters. And they, I mean, the Bucks are just, they were hot. Like, they shot 75% in the first quarter. That's just not going to last.
Yeah.
And there is some merit to what you're saying. It's funny. I was joking with someone with the Bucks before the game last night about they got there and they got their championship, so now they know how little the regular season means. The regular season means a lot to the Cavs.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean as much to the Bucks. And that's to take nothing. I'm not trying to diminish what the Cavs did last night at all. But I'm saying it kind of plays into the regular season versus the postseason. Once you get to the postseason and you taste that success and you understand the difference between the two, you do treat it differently. The Cavs, you know, like I wrote, they're too young. They don't know what they don't know. They just go out there and play hard every night. And I've said this to you. I've said this on the show. You can win 5 to 6 games in the NBA a year just by playing hard because teams don't play that hard. The Cavs play hard every night, the entire game. And you're talking about Kevin Love, you know, he is reengaged. He's motivated. He's in a terrific role where they're limiting his minutes and therefore, you know, hopefully reducing the injury risk. He's giving them exactly what they need in that bench spot. I mean, you know, you're talking – Kobe could be executive of the year, JB could be coach of the year, Evan could be rookie of the year, and Kevin could be sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
Like, legit. That all is not – that's not outrageous to think any of that is true.
Do you think do you think Darius is going to make the All-Star game, or is he going to fall just short?
You know, the reason I think he might is because it is in Cleveland, and guys are going to tap. I don't know that he'll make the initial wave of reserves. He's certainly not going to be voted a starter. And he may not make the initial list of reserves, but if guys tap out of the game between now and then for injury or for whatever other reason, I can see the league adding him, as a reserve because the game is here. I think that's going to help his chances. He's certainly worthy of it. And so I don't expect him to be the first add, but I think by the time we get to the game, there's always guys that drop out. By the time we get there,
yeah,
he very well. I think he will be there. I think him and Jarrett probably both will be there.
Nice.
And rightfully so. JB could be the coach.
Yeah.
A game and a half out of JB being the coach of the
true.
East. It's insane.
It's nuts. We're talking with Jason Lloyd of The Athletic. Cavs have only won 50 or more games without LeBron on the roster three times in franchise history, and they have a good chance to do it this year. But, Jason, you talked about it. The playoffs is a different game, and so now we come to the trade deadline, which is just a couple of weeks away. Brian Windhorst today on ESPN, your buddy, said the Cavs are being as aggressive as anybody right now. He mentioned Eric Gordon. He mentioned Dennis Schroeder. He says he expects them to make multiple trades. Do you think if they do so, it's all about draft picks and maybe Sexton and maybe Rubio, guys who are not playing? Or could they even go into some of their players that are in the mix? And do you expect them to be as aggressive as Windy thinks?
Yeah, I they're shaking the trees on a bunch of stuff. But here's the thing, and this is where they're in kind of a complicated situation. They're only $3 million below the tax line. And that's a number that they really, really, really want to avoid. I would be shocked if the Cavs were a tax-paying team this year. And it's not that Dan doesn't want to pay the tax. We know Dan's going to pay the tax. Like, he's proven that. It's starting the repeat offender clock. And that's, I mean, fans don't want to hear about this, but this is the reality of it. They're $3 million away from starting that ticking clock so that in 2020, if they go into the tax now, they're a tax-paying team in 2025. Or, I'm sorry, if they go into the tax now, they will be a tax-paying team every year. And then they hit repeat offender status in 2025. Mobley's extension would not kick in until 2026.
Right.
So it's a real concern. And even like they were only a repeat offender team one time under LeBron his last year here. And even Dan had to blink on some certain decisions at that point because the tax is so steep and punitive. And so you're talking about you're going to be entering that tax as it is. You're going to be entering that tax as Mobley's extension kicks in. And again, you've got Aaron Allen on the books. Darius will be making max money by then.
Yeah.
So you need to do everything you can, right? As much of a feel-good story as this is, and it is, them and the Grizzlies are the two best stories in the NBA this year. You still have to be financially prudent right now because I don't think anyone thinks this team is going to win an NBA championship this year. So you can't start that clock until it's absolutely necessary because of what it means on the back end. So they can be aggressive, and they're going to be aggressive, and they got the disabled player exception for Rubio for $9 million. They could trade Rubio himself at $17 million. But it's just I don't know how many moves are really logical that they could make and stay out of that tax because they're only $3 million from the tax line. So that's the thing to watch with me.
Yeah. What about Sexton? Do you think he's going to get traded?
I think he could, yeah. I've said before, I've written this before that they were shopping him last summer and they couldn't find the value that they wanted for him, so they held on to him. And he's just a complicated case right now because he's entering restricted free agency. Obviously, he's missing most of this year with the injury. Teams around the league don't want to pay him starter money. Like, you know, they look at him more as a reserve. So it's a really complicated case. But if you find the right team that sees value in him, yeah, he could be on the move, but I don't think they're going to trade him for a rental. You know, they're not going to trade him for a guy who's in the last year of his deal. But if they've got a guy who's young, who fits into their nucleus, who can grow with this group, yeah, I think that they would certainly look at doing something like that.
What is the area they need? Is it going to get a wing player? Is it an upgrade over Rondo? I mean, what do you think is, if they're going to make a move, what's the most important thing?
Wings you can't get. Wings are like quarterbacks in the NFL, it's starting pitching in baseball. And that's really, I mean, that's a whole other conversation is they're doing this without a dominant wing, which I didn't think was possible. Like, I didn't think you could. The wing position is the most important position in the NBA. Imagine trying to go to the playoffs with Spurgeon Wynn as your quarterback. Like, and I'm not trying to say Lauri Markkanen is Spurgeon Wynn. I'm just saying they don't have that elite level superstar like a LeBron, like a Kevin Durant, Paul George, Kawhi. These superstar-driven teams, that's the most important position on the floor. The Cavs don't have a superstar there by any means. Like, their fifth, sixth best player is into that spot, and they're still doing this. But you're not going to find that on the trade market. So really, what's realistic, what's logical, what makes sense is another ball handler, creator, like you mentioned, maybe an upgrade over Rondo, although I actually thought Rondo was giving him more than I thought he would. You know, we were talking the day that Rubio went down, and I said, they just need somebody who can dribble, somebody who can bring the ball up before and dribble outside of Darius. And Rondo was a really sneaky move. It didn't really cost him a lot financially or in trade capital. But I do think that that's where you would look, upgrade that two spot if you can. You know, Caris LeVert's a name that's come up. I think that makes a lot of sense. Rubio's contract would be a great vehicle for that trade. It does not take them into the tax. I think Karras actually makes a few hundred thousand less. So that to me makes a lot of sense, something like that. But you're not going to find a wing. You're not going to find a dominant wing on the trade market at this point. But someone who can create and someone who can just dribble and bring the ball up the floor and help Darius in an upgrade over Rondo would be, to me, a welcome addition. But it's going to be stuff on the edges. It's not going to be, you know, we were talking Ben Simmons before. I don't think they're going to get that aggressive. I don't think that they're going to do anything major. Like, they understand and appreciate where they're at with the chemistry of this team. And they are very cognizant of that, and they don't want to do anything to disrupt that. And I was having a conversation with some of the organization a couple of days ago, and I mentioned, like, Odell and the Browns. You know, the Browns surprised everyone and sort of became that darling team, and then they added Odell, and how expectations just exploded, and really the Browns imploded. And that's really what I think the Cavs are trying to avoid, is bringing in something that's going to disrupt what they have going, because what they have going is working.
But LeVert certainly is more than just a fringe. I mean, he's not a superstar, but that's a pretty significant addition, though, no?
Yeah, it is, but it's not Ben Simmons.
Right.
And I guess that's the difference I'm trying to – if Karis LeVert is on this team, he's the starting two guard.
Right.
And Okoro's coming off the bench. And that would be, you know, offensively for sure, that's a big-time upgrade over Isaac, who is still trying to figure things out in the league. He's great defensively, but, you know, he's still – not great offensively. LeVert would be a huge upgrade to that. But I don't think he's a guy who's going to come in. He's not a guy who needs the ball in his hands. You know, they're not going to take the ball out of Darius's hands and put it in LeVert's hands, something like that. That's what I'm talking about.
I said a couple of weeks ago the Cavs are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I said I'm probably nuts, but I'm saying it. And finally today, Kendrick Perkins said the same thing on NBA Today, so I was pretty excited about that. Are you buying it? Especially if they got LeVert and stayed healthy. You buying the possibility of them getting to the Eastern Conference Finals?
It's going to depend on seeding. I don't know. I think it's funny because Kelsey Roos and I are actually co-opting a piece right now about that's part of it. And I said, it's such a different animal. The postseason is such a different animal, like we were talking about earlier, that I don't think it's fair to them to expect that or to think that. If it happens, great. I think just getting there, being one of the top six. I mean, they're a game and a half out of home court advantage throughout the playoffs, but they're like three games out of being in the play-in. So one or two ill-timed injuries, they've already had some, but one or two more injuries. The East is so bottlenecked, they could easily still fall down to the play-in tournament. We're only looking one way, and this could go either way. But I do think that they'll be one of the top six seeds. I think they'll be one of the top four seeds. I think they'll have home court advantage in the first round, and I expect them to win that series. You know, if they can avoid Milwaukee, Miami, Brooklyn in the first round, they could beat any of those other teams. They could beat – I mean, they've beaten every top team in the East. They could beat any of these teams.
Yeah.
But those teams have been there before. They've experienced it. Chicago really hasn't. Chicago's sort of in the Cavs boat of not really understanding what playoff basketball is all about.
Right.
But I think that getting there, having home court, winning one series would be an overwhelming accomplishment, a huge victory, and really a launching point for what's to come of this franchise. I'm not going to put conference finals on him yet.
It's amazing where we are now on the Cavs versus 6 months ago. Incredible. Jason, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining me.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Talk to you later. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.